B-Pod Studios.
There's never a shortage of stories.
This thing was earned.
Talking Tats.
You earned the trip.
Sucks.
He's got a history of ripping apart farm systems.
The Celtics are bending over backwards.
Get tired of the top line question.
This is your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Steak and Eggs?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I wish somebody would have marooned them.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
First of all, starting off, I'm appalled. My name is Ace, and I'm on a case. I've been born and raised in the Fillmore, in which we call it the Phil, no more. The issue here that I'm come here to speak on, and I was coming to say, I'm not objective or for it, but we need to know what the hell he think he's are they doing. Now, it shows some confidence there, or it shows some cockiness, in which Ace, on the case, I'm very disappointed. So right now, it's a bad mark, but there's room for improvement. But you make it loud and clear in his ear that Ace is on the case. Now, the information that I have here, I can't get from your secretary. She said confidential. Block it out. But I'm appalled. Just taking my time coming down here, although I'm down here at City Hall. I call it Silly Hall. But the deal is right now, the issue is my name is Ace. Ooh. And I've been on this case. Some of those people out there didn't want me all in that place. But it's no mystery. Just check my history. Ooh, I've been working on that case because it got a lot of conspiracy. Ooh. Thank you very much.
Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich, 604 in the Town Fair Tire Studios, and Adam Jones filling in this morning, and hopefully it won't just be Adam Jones and John Wallach at some point during the show. The voice is somewhat tentatively back.
It sounds way better than yesterday.
Yeah, so...
I don't know how you feel, but it sounds a lot better.
I feel great. I mean, that's the weird thing, and this happens every once in a while. It probably happens once a year, once every 2 years, where it just... randomly, my voice will go out. And you've had it before. We've had Dying Wallach.
No, really?
Yeah.
Stop.
we have Dying Wallach several times.
Yes.
I don't feel sick, but I just think it's also like everyone around me, every faction of my life has gotten like this vomiting stomach awfulness over the past
last
like, 2 months.
Week. Our own Mike Lockhart was similarly afflicted, apparently, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Artemi Panarin has it. It's tough.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. Everyone all around tough. Us.
Well, right. You know, according to Torts, he crapped his pants. Yeah. This, by the way, if you haven't heard, this is great. So he was rumored to be traded, and so John Tortorella, who we all know and love, back when he was with the Rangers, he had the best back and forth with that guy Brooksy, who we talked about from the New York Daily News. They hated each other. He's one of my favorite sound bites after one of the best hockey sound bites you can get. So he was being asked why this player was being kept off the ice, and his answer was legendary.
The fact that Panarin is now this close to the trade deadline, with all the trade rumors swirling, you see that there would be.
He's sick. He's sick as a dog. Yes, he's very sick. That's why he's out.
Did he play sick last night as well?
I didn't ask him last night. Today, I was told he's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole tire tread as far as what happened today with him so we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved? He shit his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything. So, enough.
Okay, that's great.
It's the absolute best. He never changes. You'd figure as he gets older, maybe he'd mellow out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Remember when the Bruins played the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs and we were all about Torts that entire week?
Without a doubt.
He's what an ass he is. And it's nice to know that regardless of where he coaches or where he... Because you remember now, he went to Vancouver for a while and it didn't work out there. And now he's in Columbus. And give him credit. Columbus playing really well after being irrelevant for about 15 years. He has not changed an iota. He's fantastic.
And he still looks just like the smarmy guy from Die Hard who sells out John McClane.
Yeah. Right.
I get him for you.
That's right. That's right.
Every time I see him, like, here he is. He became a hockey coach. By the way, what did that actor ever do after that? I think that's like the only role he's been in.
Now you're going to make me look that up because I'm going to have to think of it.
We're going to have to IMDb that sucker. All so yesterday it was freaky too because... You know, I through like maybe 9 o'clock, it was serviceable, my voice yesterday. And then like in the 9 o'clock hour, it's like, dude, I'm done. It was absolutely fried. So it's usually one of those things where if I just like rest for a couple hours, you know, eventually to come back. But I took like a 2 hour nap, and around I think 6 o'clock, I text Wallach and I text Dan. I'm like, dude, it's worse. Like, this is really weird. And like, I don't want to like not show up if I you know, just because I can't talk. But I'm like, I'd be useless. I can't go on the air. So I said, let's give it a couple hours. And yesterday around like 8:30 or so, it was still like toast. And I'm like, I'm just going to go to sleep. Hopefully it comes back. So as of right now, it's somewhat cooperating. I still
sounded
got
good.
Yeah, well, it's kind of sexy, to be quite honest. Yeah, I got a little bit of that rasp.
Yeah, it's right in that sweet spot where you want to be.
Yeah, it's a little Kathleen Turner, a little Harvey Fierstein. You know, it's a little gravelly. So we'll see. And hopefully all of a sudden at 8 o'clock, it just doesn't go, F you, and just I'm gone. And then it will be... The Adam Jones and Wallach show.
And then Danny Ainge is going to start rumors yesterday like he was trying to start with Fred. He's going to be like,
Without a doubt.
Rich?
Adam Jones getting a lot of crap yesterday for the questions he was asking.
Yeah, it wasn't my finest line of questions, I would say.
Like, for all the criticism that we gave Steve Volpett yesterday for not quite asking the most pointed question, you know, maybe we need to turn around and look at ourselves sometimes.
Maybe I need to go look myself in the mirror.
So we'll get to everything that happened with the Celtics yesterday. I think everyone just wanted basketball to start because of this seemed like the world's longest All-Star break. But I do want to first mention, so yesterday it was what seemed like a very scary scene at JetBlue Park. Nick Cafardo, who, of course, has been writing for the Boston Globe for years. When did he start? Like, 89?
He started at the Globe in 89. And I didn't even know this. Wallach, maybe you did. He was at the Ledger before that.
I talked with, was talking back and forth to Steve Volpett last night. And he was saying, yes, when Steve was covering the Patriots, I mean, that was it. He was at Patriot Ledger. And he had, you know, nothing but glowing things like everyone. To say about Nick Cafardo. And Nick was a guy, when I started back in the early 90s, trying to get to Fenway, and you show up, and I was talking with Jones about this beforehand, you know, the company says, go to Fenway Park, now you're going to cover the Red Sox. Every home game, you're there. You show up, there's no map to tell you what to do. I had no idea what to do when I showed up, and Nick was there and showed me the ropes so I didn't thoroughly embarrass myself.
Yeah.
And he was one of those guys who was a mentor to me when I was a kid and made me look like I knew what I was doing when I really didn't.
Well,
it was fantastic to deal with.
It seems like a kind of a scary situation yesterday because he died of embolism, and it was obviously very sudden. I mean, nobody had any idea. I think it caught him off guard, obviously, and which is like embolism is like a blood clot inside your blood vessel, and it was fairly sudden. I don't know exactly how it happened, whether he was with the rest of the reporters at the time. That's obviously something that's kind of being kept under wraps. But you hear anytime someone passes away a million stories about how good this person was and how nice of a human being, even though, you know, sometimes people like to embellish things and, you know, in their memory because, you know, you don't want to say anything bad about someone who just passed. This is not that case with Nick Cafardo. Literally everyone that I've ever met who knew the guy, every time he was on our show, any interaction, sports media in Boston is a very snippy industry. And I like to say that it's something that I try to keep myself out of, the backstabbing, the talking behind people's back. Everyone's got a bad story about everyone. You mention a name and 13 people will go, oh, did you hear about what this guy did? You never heard that about Nick Cafardo. Not one bad word about this guy. And not only does nobody have anything bad to say, it's like immediately the thing in everyone's mind is to go straight towards a story about how he either A, helped them out, B, did something completely classy, especially when it was someone who was a competitor. they would say things like, you know, instead of like rooting against me, whenever I would get a scoop and before he did, he would look to me and say, hey, great job. I think John Tomasi wrote something about that, which I thought was a very good article. Shaughnessy wrote a really good one this morning, but it's just one of those situations where, honestly, everything I've ever known about Nick Cafardo, from when him coming on the show through interactions with his family, this guy was the real deal, just a genuinely good person. And it's weird, too, because when someone passes like that, it made me think of my father, because I didn't talk about it when my father died too much, because it was right on the heels of everything that was going on with Mary, and I didn't want to be Mr. Doom and Gloom guy, because at some point, it's just, it'll beat you down. But he kind of went the same way. Like, no one knew it was coming. And it's one of those things where when I saw him pass, I saw what everyone was saying. I don't mean to get super heavy, but just, if you've got good things to say about somebody, tell them while they're alive, you know, because you never know. Something like this could just happen and they could just disappear. And you just want to go back and go, man, you were just a you know, I thought all of these things, X, Y, X, and Y, and I wish you would know before you passed. And that's one of those things that when I saw him go and I saw all these stories come out, it's like you just never know when your time is. So if you truly appreciate what someone's done for you in your career or advice they've given you, let them know. You don't have to be weird about it. Just like there's ways of saying things without being oogie. Just like, hey, man, thanks for all the things you did for me. Even like a quick like little email, just something out there so they know, because stuff like this seems to be happening more and more and more. And I know there were a lot of people yesterday that wish they could have done it while I was still here. So Nick Cafardo, it's obviously a huge loss for the sports reporter community, but also a real loss because he was such a good guy.
Well, it's funny you say the you know, say goodbye or say what you want to say. I don't know if you guys saw what Garen Austin tweeted yesterday.
No,
but she said she you know, she was basically there in the parking lot, JetBlue Park, and maybe it was the day prior, and she got stuck chatting with him for like an hour, 2 hours, something like that. And she's like, you know, I was busy, I had to run, but like I'm happy I was able to do that, you know. And it's funny how that can work out. I was surprised, and maybe this just speaks to my, you know, I'm always reminded how much of an idiot I am and how much I don't know. I was surprised that the outpouring at the national level from like other athletes that Nick covered,
sure,
you know, it's not, yeah, it wasn't just even in, but like I saw last night A-Rod tweeted about it. And I was like, whoa. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Not that makes a difference for, you know, who Cafardo impacted here locally, and you know, you need to be recognized at that level to validate your life or anything. But just, I didn't realize the respect he had throughout the game nationally. Like, I knew it here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it nationally, even with the Sunday notes and everything. So, yeah, that was something that I learned yesterday.
You know what was the most chilling thing about all of it was that, you know, I follow Nick Cafardo on Twitter, and I went back. Guy tweeted out a story at 6:20 yesterday morning. Like, he wrote an article yesterday morning, was covering the team, and then just...
It was his day off.
Just like that.
He was it.
I mean, that is, once again, it's just one of those things where, you know, you have to, while they're here, let them know what you think about them. And, you know, and because stuff like this happens, and it seems to be happening more and more. It's really kind of weird, but Nick Cafardo, what a loss. And I know that, you know, people like Dan Roach, if you want to read, there's a lot of tributes coming out today, read them. They're, I mean, because as I said, genuinely good guy. When people, they're not embellishing what a good human being he was. He truly was that way. All right, well, we will get to everything that happened last night, including the Celtics. Once again, after a week of Kyrie Irving being the story, he's kind of the story once again, even on the court. We will get to that and so much more right after this.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub is Toucher and Rich, and the NBA All-Star break felt like it was 10 weeks long. And after all the drama involving Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and Gordon Hayward's wife turning off his video games, it was finally time to once again play basketball. And right out of the box, the Celtics took on the best team in the league, and once again, Kyrie was the story.
Boston down one, trying to pull off the win of the year. Mike Callahan, we're going to hand it to Marcus Smart here and start the 5-second count. Lopez, the seven-footer, waving his arms in front of him. Smart holding it. Bounce pass in. Kyrie's got it. Turns with a left-hand dribble in the paint. Crazy runner. No good. And the ball game is over.
Wow.
Last month in Orlando, Kyrie Irving didn't get the ball in that situation and wasn't happy about it. Tonight, he gets it, but his runner bounces out, and the Bucks have survived.
Yep, the Celtics, they fall 1 point short behind the Greek Freak in Milwaukee. They lose 98-97, which, by the way, if you took the Bankroll Boys' advice last night and went with the under, or as Joe Murray tweeted last night, fade follower, get the F out of the way, then you might have made some sweet cash last night. That was the best. And it, you said, I think the over-under was like 220 or something like that.
That's way under.
Yeah. I was like, all right.
That thing was a rock fight last night.
Yeah, without a doubt. So it was indeed Kyrie who had an opportunity to win it the last second yesterday. An apparent blown play that was supposed to go to Marcus Morris. But he was indeed held, but not tackled, as Bill Simmons tweeted last night. Isn't that the term that he used?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, listen, crap happens. There should be no other place that you want the ball than in Kyrie's hands with the game on the line. Bottom line, conversation over. No complaints about the refs allowed. Like, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I love how everyone is going nuts that Marcus Morris didn't get the ball. It's like, Kyrie had a good, I mean, he had the ball in his hands. He had a shot to win it. Isn't that what you want?
There was only one complaint I saw online, and Twitter, of course, is the best place imaginable after losses like this. And Al Horford had flared out to the wing, and he was wide open. And that's the thing.
I heard Tatum was open, too.
Well, I mean, Kyrie could have seen. He saw Horford. Horford had flared out to the left wing and was open. He could have taken a wide-open three. But having said all of that, I want the ball in Kyrie Irving's hands
that
in a situation
is,
like
if
that.
If you would have looked at the situation, the ball being inbounded, you say, who's the guy you want the ball to go to?
That's the
Everyone
guy.
Says
I
Kyrie.
Don't care how poorly he shot last night. That's the guy I
he
want.
Well, because that's what makes him special.
Everyone except for Jones, that moments. Is.
Well, no. I that's who I wanted to shoot, too. And I didn't love the shot he got, but Kyrie at the end of 3 seconds left, like, you, that's what you want. Like, I agree that's what you want. Is that what Brad wanted? They ran the play for Morris.
Sure, but Morris was held. And crap happens.
No,
so
but
you,
I.
You
but
have
I,
to. You know. You have to.
No, his point was Stevens didn't want the ball to go to Irving.
I don't know if he didn't want it to go there, but that wasn't the first option. Like all the players that Marcus Smart said after the game, first option Marcus Morris. So I don't know. We all agree Kyrie's the one we wanted to get the ball, but I mean Morris is the one who it was designed for. And
don't you think it's for more deception purposes and not because of a lack of trust?
I mean, I think the ball was going there if he were open, if he didn't get bumped again, not tackled. Nearly tackled or whatever people want to call it after the game. He got bumped and there was some contact, but yeah, I mean that was where the play was drawn up for. I'm okay with Kyrie in that situation. One thing I do love about him, and again, this is Kyrie on the basketball court. We've talked about this all week. Mm-hmm. On the court, there's not much to dislike. He shot it poorly last night. He's not gun shy in those games. He's awful in the Lakers game. Wasn't afraid to shoot big shots at the end of that game. They did lose, just like last night. But, you know, he knocked down massive shots in that game,
sure.
too. I didn't love the final look, but that's who I would want
to. By the way,
shooting.
Kyrie knocked down a lot of massive shots down a stretch. He was one for his first 11.
That's what I'm saying.
And made eight of his final 16.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he was bad. I mean, you look at his stat, he was really bad for the majority of the game. But, I mean, most of his points came in clutch time.
I think their first lead was him, right?
When
they went in front late, that was him.
Yeah. That might have been him. And the whole time I'm sitting there watching it, as he's just as cold as it gets, and I'm thinking to myself, he's still going to end this game with 20-something points. I just knew it. Even like in the third, I'm like, this is just what... Fourth quarter was made for Kyrie Irving. And unfortunately, the most clutch of shots he didn't make. But the one thing that you can either be upset or encouraged by, it depends on how you look at it, is that the Celtics had their worst shooting night of the season yesterday. Yep. 38%. And they were still 1 point away from being the best team in basketball in their arena.
I don't fear this.
Without Hayward.
Yeah.
Without Hayward.
Without Gordon Hayward.
Who's been great.
Yeah, Terry Rozier did not play well last night. You could have used Gordon Hayward out there. But, and Jones and I were talking a little bit before the show, last night's game makes me feel as though this team can win in Milwaukee in a playoff series. I don't fear the Bucks in a best of seven in the
semifinals. Did you going into that game?
A little bit, only because Milwaukee's been so damn good for the balance of the season. I mean, I like that. Budenholzer's a very good head coach. Now, granted, he hasn't won anything, but Milwaukee had basically the same roster last year, and they were not nearly this good. I mean, Giannis is a year older and a year better. Chris Middleton was an all-star for the first time this year. I like, and Brogdon is always seems to kill the Celtics.
By the way,
in crunch time,
his shot's gross. He had a good night.
Who,
I'm not saying he's a bad player or anything.
No,
but
he's
just,
not beautiful. No,
I don't remember that from the playoffs last year. His shot is gross.
Milwaukee obviously has been the best team in the league so far this season. But after what the Celtics did last night, they did not shoot the ball well, and they were right there at the end. And defensively, they were pretty good.
I said this earlier in the week. I've said this for most of the year. I'm not a big believer in the Bucks. It's Giannis is incredible, although, you know, the Celtics guard him the right way.
Yeah,
they guard him like Ben Simmons.
Let's get to that, because one guy who did have a massive night last night was Big Al.
95-92, Boston down 3, 105 to go. Kyrie switches to the right hand, gets a step on Bledsoe, behind the back pass for Horford. Dwight got it to tie the game.
Ooh, man.
And
95 apiece. What a night for Al Horford. 21 points, 16 rebounds.
Thank you, Cedric Maxwell. At least mention a food item or a sandwich or something like that in that bag. Ooh,
Grandy,
man.
Grandy's got tweets to send out. Fill the gap there, Max.
Well, you know, there's some WWE that's being the pay-per-view on his side table that he's got going. I've heard he does that. Like, he'll actually have, like, live, like, on a Monday night, he'll have Raw one screen.
I have seen this.
Yeah, and you've seen it in
person. I've seen it in person. It does happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes. Al Horford, I mean, in addition to scoring 21 points and grabbing a season-high 17 rebounds, he also had 5 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, and he did that all going against Giannis. The guy has been a force this season, especially against stars like Giannis and Embiid. Now, saying you did well against the Greek Freak doesn't mean he still wasn't a monster.
Has Kyrie thrown one pass that wasn't behind the back tonight? Long lead, Giannis catches. He's under the basket. He has to step back, throws it down with the right hand, and the foul.
Wow. I mean, you had him under the rim.
Looked
under
like
the rim.
Looked like he had nowhere to go.
And you let him just back you in.
He knocked Kyrie back. Yeah.
I mean, Giannis was past the basket, almost out of bounds. Yeah. And the way he used that ass and just knocked Kyrie right out of the way for the end one, that dude is so much fun to watch. I mean, hopefully he's going to end up being the face of the NBA. Like, he does everything right. Like, when you hear him speak afterwards, the way he plays is, like, intense. It's exciting. The minute you think he's going to just, like, tomahawk dunk you, throws it outside to the perimeter. I mean, it's like he is one of the most, for his age especially. I mean, how old is he now? He's only, like, 24, 25?
24 would be my guess.
God, every time I look at that draft, I think, how did all of those other teams, including the Celtics, not have any clue what this guy was going to be.
He just turned 24 a couple of months ago.
When you get a chance to take Olynyk, you got to do it. When you get a chance to move up for Kelly Olynyk, you got to do it.
It's all right. And the other 13 teams that whiffed on him. Antetokounmpo was raw when he was drafted and has developed far faster than anyone thought. It was just a massive home run pick. You just never see this. If it was not for LeBron James, this guy would be the face of the league. Honestly.
Well, I mean, because you know, I was thinking about this the other day as far as the faces of the league. You know, LeBron obviously is now, and he will be until he stops playing. But then I don't even think the torch gets passed to Kevin Durant, because Fred made a great point the other day. Kevin Durant, whereas he might be the best or second best player,
he might be
the
next best player.
He might even be the best player. If you think he's better than LeBron, whatever.
Yeah.
But he's not even, like, the most popular player on the Warriors.
He doesn't do a lot of... This guy has an attitude. He doesn't do a lot of smiling. You don't see a lot of commercials. But, and Antetokounmpo's never in a bad mood. Now, if he was playing in New York or Los Angeles, he would own half the country. I mean, that's how good he is.
But
stuck in Milwaukee, that hampers him a little
but
bit.
But you're right. I mean, Steph Curry is more popular than Kevin Durant is. So he's not going to be the guy. Giannis... I mean, you would hope it, because he's everything that's right about basketball. The dude is a monster to play. He's fun to watch. He seems like, once again, this is early in his career.
Yep.
But right now, he seems to embrace being in a small market. Then again, so did Anthony Davis for years.
Yeah.
So we don't know if he's going to turn into that guy who says, I need to get in a better market and I need to play in New York or Los Angeles or whatnot.
He probably will.
No, I wouldn't doubt it.
The only thing he does not do is shoot threes. If he shot threes, he would be unbelievable. unstoppable. He's one of the worst three-point shooters in the league.
Well, Al Horford learned how to do it. I mean, a lot of big men have learned how to do it.
I'm just saying that's the only thing that's missing from his game. You saw that chase down block of Tatum. Defensively, he's not bad either.
But Wallach is, I mean, right now he doesn't have it. I agree with you, Rich. Like, I'm not putting it past him that he can learn it and add it to his game. But right now, the Celtics guard him the right way. They guard him like Simmons. They leave him alone on threes. Agreed. And they
because you can.
They jump him on anything collapsing to the paint. So
did you see his lack of scoring, like in between, like the top of the key and like the free? It's like he's awful. If he's right under the basket, he's obviously amazing.
But like Simmons, once he gets going downhill, he turns a corner and goes downhill. You can't stop him.
No, you can't. You can't. But that's the thing about Giannis is, as I was saying, you know, when he's running at you full speed, that guy, by the way, also gets a ton of leeway as far as traveling. I mean, the guy takes four or five steps and he can go from like half court, you know, to the basket. And so they give him tons of leeway. But you saw how it happened last night. The guy runs full speed and it's just instinct. If you're someone that's guarding down low, to just crowd the guy and boom, he's got the sense. Chris Middleton wide open. And there you go. And then you get punished. And that's the thing about, I'm not dismissing the Bucks like you guys are. I think that they're a formidable opponent. I still think the Celtics are a better team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just pick the Celtics head to head. I'm not dismissing them, but I would take the Celtics over them.
They can take a road game in Milwaukee. Honest to God, if they hold home floor, they can certainly take a road game in Milwaukee to win a series.
Well, I mean, they're
not a problem.
I understand, but also, like, the only team that I'm truly afraid of is the Raptors right now. I think the Sixers are, I dismiss them.
Like, I mean, they gave the Sixers a chance until that last game, and now I dismiss them.
They own them.
Yeah.
They're in their heads. They own them. They get out coached every single time, and someone finds a way. And you're right. I think it's just because this is a team that doesn't have a big bench. I mean, their starters are obviously amazing, but there's no bench, no depth. That's the one thing about the Celtics. They might have the best bench in the East. There's a bunch of guys that think they should be starters, and many of them could be on other teams. And then you've got Milwaukee, who is going to be a tough out. That's a series that goes six or seven games.
Sure.
But I still think the Celtics are the better team. All right. There was some interesting post-game stuff that came out of that. Also, Charles Barkley might be my favorite human on the planet. Did you hear him yesterday?
I did.
I did not.
Okay. All right. We have to play something from Charles Barkley that he said yesterday that it's very rare that, like, I'm cackling laughing sitting on my couch. But Barkley did it last night.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
And slaps it ahead to Lopez, and here comes Brogdon. Giannis running right down the middle, steps through Al Horford, and throws it down with two hands. How did he slide through that?
I mean, it was just a tiny, tiny, tiny crevice.
15-9 for the Freak. 58-55, Milwaukee by three.
98.5 Sports Hub is Toucher and Rich. Celtics end up losing by one last night. Kyrie was awful until the end, but I mean, when you have your worst shooting night of the year as a team and you still almost go into Milwaukee and beat the best team in basketball, I mean, you're one point away. You had a shot at doing it. It's nothing you should get too crushed about. And afterwards, there was a lot of complaints about the ref and how apparently Marcus Morris is saying that he was held, as he was joking. You know, Bill Simmons said that he was nearly tackled, which I thought was ridiculous. Kyrie Irving was asked about that, and he said this.
Kyrie, did you feel he had a foul?
I love my money. Yeah.
So he's not going to complain about, by the way, immediately when that clip happened, we get an email from Adam Jones saying, the clip you got to hold on to, Kyrie saying, I love my money.
Take
it out of context.
That one is going to live on. I can tell you that already. He's going to regret saying that one. He's not going to get fined, but that one's going to stick with him.
Well, Brad Stevens was asked about, you know, I mean, Kyrie played a lot. What, 41 minutes last night?
More than you would think.
Yeah, it was like 41, 42
minutes.
It was
as if to prove a point, I think.
41, sure.
41 is right.
Yeah. 41 minutes. I mean, you haven't seen that all season. I think that's not a mistake.
No, without a doubt.
That was something that was planned, or during the game covers, like, I'm staying in. I mean, all these people that think I can't play and I shouldn't be playing, okay, there you go.
So here's what Mr. Stevens had to say about the massive amount of time that Kyrie got on the court last night.
We were down four at the start of the fourth and down eight with 10:32, and so I decided to go back with him quickly. And he had a little bit of a rhythm. He had struggled to get his rhythm going, and like I said, everybody looked rusty, but But then, you know, he got it going towards the end of the third. So didn't want him to sit very long.
Okay, so the Celtics have one layup in a sea of tough games. That's tomorrow night against the Bulls. You can hear that right here at 8 o'clock on 98.5 of Sports Hub. However, yes, sir.
Well, I just looked through his minutes log for the year for Kyrie. 41 is not a season high. He's top 40 like four or five times. 43 against Phoenix in November was a season
to come high. That was to come from behind game where they were way back and they needed him to get... That was on the road trip, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the game.
Did they lose that game?
No, they won. Was the one win they had, and they had to come all the way back from, what, 20 down in the third quarter?
That's
to
right. That's right.
He missed the next game, by the way, so... Out of 43 minutes, then he missed the next game.
Well, you know, first game.
Actually, you know what? Now that I actually, but that there's not. Didn't he miss a game on that road trip because he was attending a service?
Yes,
or something
correct.
Like that?
So never mind.
That's unrelated. That's what it was.
So if
thought
you
thought I had something.
If you were indeed watching,
darn it!
You thought you had a hot take, and then you just ended up sounding like an a hole.
Thought I had something.
See, he was at a funeral, Adam Jones.
I was working on something.
Are you going to find some way to rip into a guy who went to a funeral?
No. That was the first step.
What are we talking about, Sarge or something?
How big's the game?
All right. So if you watched the NBA on TNT last night, first of all, you should be watching Mike Gorman. However, I'm a huge fan. I mean, obviously, Charles Barkley's one of the best broadcasters out there. So they were doing this bit where, I guess at the beginning of the season, they had all made predictions about what was going to happen during the upcoming games, and they wrote them down on little post-it notes, and they were going back to say, okay, what prediction can we take down from the wall? And so Ernie Johnson goes over to the wall to try to yank down one of them, and then Charles Barkley goes off on a tangent. Just as a clarifier, if you don't know what's going on with the Jussie Smollett case, he's the dude from Empire who it ends up he hired two guys to beat him up, and these two guys, he paid him $3,500 with a check. These two dudes went to these two dudes went to a store, and together there's a video of them buying face masks, them buying this bleach that they apparently poured on him, and rope, and he got busted. And there's apparently a mountain of evidence, including texts and all these things. Jussie set it all up, so Charles Barkley couldn't resist.
Most ridiculous one over there that's still living that you would say has no chance of happening.
Two black guys beating a black guy up
and having a black guy.
sorry,
speak it out loud. That's not on here, man. The Clippers. Well, the Clippers will not make the playoffs. And.
What kind of hats they had on, Chuck?
Maggots hats. All right, I think that's probably it.
Okay.
The Lakers will not make the playoffs. The Kings will is the latest edition. Go ahead, Kenny. I can't believe you, Chuck.
You're paying with cash. Chuckster. You're paying with Chuckster. Cash or you write him a check, Chuck. Right.
Never break. Hey, listen, America.
Chuckster. How?
America. Let me just tell you something.
What's that?
Do not commit crimes with checks. Come on, man. God. You cannot. If you're going to break the law, do not write a check.
Because you're writing a check that what? You're behind cash.
Yo, man, you cannot.
Cash up.
Hey, get cash, man. I never used an ATM. Now, I heard you can only get $200 out of
house.
Five homes.
Stop, literally.
You're about to make a lot of stop to the ATM.
I have one more question to ask you. Do you buy the face mask, the rope, and the thing in the same store?
No. You think they put that on a receipt? Face mask, rope, bleach? On the same store.
You wouldn't even go to three different stores.
You gotta go to three different stores. And they put a picture of Jussie Smollett in there, and next to it said, "Who, me?" And so they come back from commercial, and they're still talking about it. Here's Barkley.
America, hey, Jack, don't commit with Jeremy. Yes, Jussie, you wasted all that damn time and money. You know what you should have did?
What's that?
Just went out in Liam Neeson's neighborhood. You could have solved all your best problems.
Go to Liam Neeson's neighborhood. As you know, Liam Neeson told that story about how he said this woman told her that he was beaten up by a black guy, and he goes, "So I was looking around this neighborhood looking to beat up a black guy." So that, of course, is the reference that he was talking about.
Barkley says, "Go
God,
there."
God, Barkley is the best. He is absolutely the best.
It just, yeah, I knew there was something off with that, with the payment aspect of the story yesterday. I was barking up the wrong tree. I said he didn't pay him enough. Paid him with a check. Should have dawned on me yesterday.
Smollett is just so defiant too. Like the lawyer, even after all of this evidence came out, is still like defiant. You know, how can they can pile on blah blah blah. And so did you see the police chief yesterday? The guy from Chicago came out there and was like pissed.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he said he was. He goes, when we found out that the motive was apparently over his salary on the show Empire, we all got pissed. So they said, is there anything?
It's a waste of their time and it's, you
money,
know,
resources. And, I mean, it's not like Chicago's got any problems or anything.
No, of course not. It undercuts, you know, any other crime of this nature. Like, people can always point to this to undercut it. So, yeah, I don't blame him for being pissed.
Oh, well, I mean, and think about, like, how it completely backfired, not only on his career, but, like, any kind of social message he was throwing there. Because, like, he went out there and said, you know, if these people were black, then, you know, you guys would be screaming at the top of the ring. So he tried to make it look like it was like white people who did this. So he tried to make it some sort of like crazy hate crime. So there were people calling him racist yesterday. I would say, yeah, I mean, that is being racist. Like, you can say that he was being racist when he did that because he hired two people to do it and he said it was white guys. I mean, it was like everything just backfired. Nothing could have possibly been any worse in the planning of it. That video when they're all walking up there with just the ski masks and the rope and everything. I mean, it's hysterical. It's like a movie. It's like a comedy movie where how does the person behind the counter just go, oh, well, you're going to mug somebody.
Yeah, it's something Will Ferrell would have done.
Right. It's a mugging starter kit that they ended up purchasing.
Will Ferrell would have written
that. Oh, did they keep a receipt? That is the best. That is the best. All right, good news for Patriots fans. There is indeed a player who is going to be returning. We'll get to that right after this.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This better get funky quick.
What is this?
Is this the...
Live in a river town.
Oh,
it's pretty little.
Never argue with a face.
Okay. Is
that all you get for your money?
I was like, is that the Goo Goo Dolls?
Man.
Track 8 off a Matchbox 20 album?
I hate this system. I'm sorry. I'm just telling
you. Yeah, it is a difficult one. A 985 is Sports Hub. It is Touch and Rich. We have Adam Jones in this morning, and good news if you're a Patriots fan. I'd like to get your take on this, Adam, because I saw you write something in the email last night that I found interesting. But Devin McCourty, you remember during that last week before the Super Bowl, you know, everyone was talking about whether or not Gronk is going to return, and there was even some question before Tom Brady went zero whether he was going to return. And out of nowhere, Devin McCourty just pops up his head and said, hey, you know, maybe this might be it for me. And I don't even know how he phrased it, but he essentially floated it out there that he could possibly retire. Well, we got an answer yesterday. He was on a podcast called Sports Spectrum. Jeez, man, there's like a zillion podcasts. And yeah, but coming on a radio show there, McCourty. He's very good when he's on NBC Sports Boston, does an excellent job with Tommy Curran. But he made somewhat of an announcement. Do you have the clip? Here we go.
Are you going to play in 2019?
Yeah, I'm going to play.
You're gonna play?
I think it was just cool at this point now, like being down here and seeing. I think you get so wrapped up in the season. And I'm just like, you know, at that point, that was media night when Deion said that to me. And it's like, yeah, man, like if we win a Super Bowl, like I don't know what else could top that. And I think like in that moment, I kind of forgot like, man, I don't play this game just to win Super Bowls. Like, it's so much more that comes from me playing the game that I love. And I think once you get a chance to step away for a couple weeks now, you're like, yeah, man, like, I still do want to be around these other young guys that come in.
The best about all this was that after McCourty made that statement, Jason McCourty is being interviewed next to his brother. And he said, dude, he's just being a drama queen. He's going to come back. And Devin McCourty's like, what are you doing blowing up my spot? And then sure enough, after the announcement happened, Jason McCourty tweeted, I told you he was a drama queen. As if we knew the entire time he was going to do this, and he just kind of wanted to get you talking about him. But
on their shared Twitter account.
On their shared, yes. It is the Devin and Jason McCourty account, but he had to write in parentheses, J-Mac, so you know
J-Mac.
It's him.
Oh, okay.
That's what they do when they... Okay. That's weird. Oh, first of all,
that's definitely weird.
I always think that there's something weird going on with a couple when like if they're married or dating,
couples
they share
the weirdest.
They share a Facebook account.
Yeah.
See, that is there's a certain religious teaching. You know that movie like Fireproof and all the Kirk Cameron religious movies about
having a good... I catch the Kirk Cameron reference. Fireproof I didn't catch.
Okay, well Fireproof is a Kirk Cameron movie.
It is.
And it's one of those like ones about like how to have like an amazing marriage that lasts forever. And one of the things I think that they teach is all social media accounts should be shared. And that way there's no... See, wouldn't that lead to...
There's no...
If you're
going
to share, that means you don't trust the other person. Doesn't that show a complete lack of trust?
Yeah, I would say that's right where it begins.
It's almost the opposite of the effect that you're trying to get.
They're just going
to
get a burner social media.
Right.
God, please. Do you really think that that's the only thing your wife has?
Yeah.
Come on.
They're just going to get another Facebook account.
Sure, you know.
Talk with
who is Rock Harders? And why and why does his Facebook account keep popping up on my laptop?
Why do we have to friend that guy?
I don't understand. So, but having two brothers with the same account, that's definitely strange, too.
It's up there. It's not as weird as couples, but it's right there.
But as far as the Patriots, I mean, on the surface, this seems like it's a great thing because, I mean, obviously, he played extremely well at the end of the season. I mean, how can you really rip on anything that defense did there at the end? And during the playoffs, they looked fantastic. And he's essentially the quarterback of that defense. So, why are you kind of lukewarm on this?
Well, so I just don't still fully know what he does that's so great. Like, I respect the coverage of Devin McCourty, meaning, you know, in the media, both locally and nationally, that, you know, he's this integral piece and he can play that deep center field. And if you read people like Phil Perry, and I do, you know, Phil will say that he's taken on more responsibility than just the deep middle, right? He's taken on more almost like a Pat Chung role where he plays in the box. I honestly barely notice him in most Patriots games. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't that a good thing sometimes?
Maybe that's because he's preventing the big play.
Yeah, if there's a corner that you don't hear much about, it's usually because he's defending the receiver fairly well.
True. So, I wonder if he were gone, if he's really one of those people where you'd miss him. The way the games play out, I wonder if you'd really even notice if he were gone. Maybe it'd be big play over the top, and you'd be like, wow, they missed McCourty? I'm not so sure.
The only thing that I would say to that is that, isn't that with most Patriots players? Like, somehow these guys just get replaced and put back in, and you think it's going to be a major loss, and you're like, well, I guess it wasn't as major a loss as you thought it was.
So that part's true. But there are guys you notice when the games happen. McCourty, I feel like, isn't one of those guys. You know, I feel like most games I watch, I would be hard-pressed. And again, he's out of the screen most of the time. He's so deep in that center field role. Most of the time you watch and you're like, what did McCourty do? I mean, maybe he'll have a pick six like he did against Buffalo. For the most part, I don't remember most of the impact.
Well, I mean, the one thing he gets the most credit for is being extremely smart. Like, as far as, like, you know, the football brain.
Getting everybody lined up in the right place.
As I said, he's like the quarterback of the D. And I got to think that if Bill Belichick respects a guy like that, then the dude obviously knows what he's doing.
True. Here's the real question with McCourty. And I can't remember, was it you or Beadle who said this earlier in the week? My brain is a little jumbled on which show this was said on. I think it was Beadle. It may have been you. That Gronk could put pressure on the organization by just coming out and saying, I'm back. And basically, now the ball's in the organization's court to say, well, we're going to give you a pay cut. And if you won't take that, now we're going to have to be the ones who cut you. In other words, saying I'm back puts the pressure on the team to give you your money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't McCourty in the same boat? McCourty's got a big number. So we'll see how much Bill respects him. Do they ask him to take a pay cut? Is he back at his number? And is McCourty trying to leverage things a little bit? I'll be curious about how that plays out.
All right, no commercials, just the headlines with John Wallach.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.